The following two pieces are by Hilary Lindsay and Heron Schnopfer, reporters for CKDU here in Halifax. Hilary Lindsay is talking to H. Cap, and Heron Schnopfer is talking to Paul O'Hara, a social worker in Halifax's North Side. The first piece is by Hilary Lindsay. The Halifax Coalition Against Poverty, or HCAP for short, is a grassroots organization working out of Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hilary Lindsay talked to Michael Parsons, Jill Ratcliffe, and Cap Larson about HCAP's approach to poverty issues in Halifax.
The main focus of what we're trying to do here is advocacy work, where we organize on a case-by-case basis on tenants' rights and legal rights and labor rights, fighting for people who are being abused by the system.
I think when we look at homelessness, we need to break it down, and we have to look at, you know, the people who are actually living on the streets and the people who are about to be living on the streets. And I think we also have to look at people who are living in unsafe housing.
We help people find the knowledge they need to fight for themselves, and then hopefully they'll be able to then advocate for themselves and others. And some of the people who we've helped out with tenant organizing now want to do tenant organizing themselves.
We're living in an age now where people make careers and career decisions and career moves on issues of poverty, on issues of HIV and AIDS, on issues of disability and things like that. You know, I think here we're seeing people that are living in poverty and living with the issues, making differences for other people that are living with the same issues. So that is very different than what's going on in general society with NGOs.
Well, I think we want to see a lot of things done. I mean, on the housing issue, we want to see the government actually take responsibility for their role in providing social housing and actually step up to the plate and deliver.
The general public, Joe taxpayer, doesn't get that people are struggling and having a hard time, and people's lives are being shortened as a result of the actions of government. And I really don't think the members of society get that that is happening.
Our economy and the way that it perpetuates class divisions is really important to look at too while we're organizing here at HCAP. Like the fact that it's necessary to have unemployed people and poor people so our economy can run. That's the whole basis. We need a labor market that drives wages down, and so we need to consider that, like, a capitalist economy is perpetuating poverty. And
you know, I think the social net is deteriorating. Mm-hmm. You know, and homelessness is the last stop. Is where it all ends.
We got this office space and we started putting out some literature, spreading word of mouth that we were doing advocacy, and cases started to come in and stuff, and so and we started to organize on bigger campaigns too. So it's just really the momentum's kind of building organically, and we're still definitely growing as an organization, which is really positive.
My name is Paul O'Hara, and I'm a social worker here at the North End Community Health Center, and I've been here actually over 20 years, so
wow.
I've been at it for quite a while, and the focus of my work is anti-poverty related issues, and I've been very much involved in housing and homelessness related initiatives really since day one of being at the health center.
Wow, yeah.
To go back 20 years ago, what was the situation like in Halifax in terms of homelessness and the population that was homeless at that time, and some of the changes that have happened, if there have been any? And
well, I think the most significant change has probably been in numbers of people, and of course, homelessness being more evident to women and children, and the other real constituency would be young people. So, I mean, it's always been there. However, it hasn't been as significant, and it's not as obvious, or it's become more obvious, I think, over the years. So, you know, we've accomplished a little bit in terms of some specific programs and even buildings to house people. However, the problem is really on the increase. It's very noticeable with young people, much more than it was in the very early 80s. And again, with women and youth. And the biggest reason why there's been an increase has been the actual elimination of programs at the federal level.
Really?
For housing initiatives. We no longer have a national housing strategy, for example. In the 70s, there was a housing strategy, and the federal government was providing significant amounts of money to develop housing co-ops and nonprofit housing and those kinds of services. It's interesting because in those days, the economy wasn't as strong as it is today. So, yeah, they've decreased the amount of money that goes into programs at a time when gross domestic product of the Canadian economy has significantly increased. It's puzzling that we are shifting as a society away from collective responsibility for people who are not making it for whatever reason.
Would you say that the population is coming up out of Halifax, or is it sort of a migratory population, like people from, say, the South Shore or even Cape Breton that are moving to the city in hopes of finding work and employment or a better life and then are faced with not being able to afford housing?
I think that Halifax is, you know, it's the largest metropolitan area in Atlantic Canada, really, and so there's people that come from other communities to Halifax looking for a better way, and there's no question about that. If you asked me that question 15 years ago, I would say 80-90% of the homeless population are local. Right now, I can't really put my finger on it, but I would say there's more people from other parts of the province.
What would you say some of the challenges are specific to Halifax as a city for people who can't find housing?
Well, the biggest issue, of course, is affordability. You know, people cannot afford the rents. Next to that would be availability. We're very in terms of development, we're very high end. I mean, the money in housing really is high end. So condos and large housing complexes for families. There's no money in developing housing that where rents would be low or even below market. And the problem is that, and particularly for single people. And I suppose for young families too, but particularly single-parent families or anybody with a low income, it's definitely the affordability. The housing is just not there. Welfare rates, of course, haven't changed in any significant amount. There's been a slight increase for single people who are disabled, you know, in shelter allowances. However, they decrease the personal allowance. So they're basically just giving more money to the landlord. Just sad. We would hope that people would be in some position to barter with their landlords based on the amount of money they have. The system just isn't set up that. There was a recent study. It was a regional municipality hired a consultant from Montreal to sort of assessment on housing affordability, and we ranked amongst the highest in the country in terms of the lack of affordable housing. For men over 19, the availability is there of shelters. They're not always well depending on the circumstance of the individual.
Right.
So if you're somebody that is drinking, then it's iffy whether or not you're going to get in. And actually, there's a new shelter replacement that is sort of making up for that. Shelters aren't homes. So when you think about somebody who doesn't have a place to live, to suggest that they go to a shelter is not really saying we don't have a problem with housing anymore because people can go to shelters. Shelters are complicated entities. And
are there any projects ongoing at the moment in Halifax or even here in the North End that are positive step towards affordable housing?
We've had some minor things to celebrate in terms of housing initiatives. There was one 3 years ago that was funded by all levels of government, which was it provided to 19 units.
Wow.
You know, so that's good. I mean, it's nothing really, but it's you know, there it is. I mean, it's 19 more people, right, that actually have a place to live that's their own.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, it's odd. I mean, we, you know, everybody knows that it's common sense when you think of having a home. That, you know, it's a place that's safe. You go home after a day's work or whatever, and you know, you turn the key and you go in and you hopefully can sigh and relax and, you know, put your feet up or maybe invite a friend over or relate to family or even be by yourself and just chill out, you know. That, I mean, that's what having a home is.
Yeah.
Is not living in some rundown roomy house or going at 6 o'clock after you stand in the soup kitchen line then going to the shelter line or have people delegate you to a bed or something. You know, it's I mean, how can you change your life when you're living like that? You know, there's ruts that people get in that are really hard to get out of. The economy is not working for a significant number of people who are becoming marginalized.
20 years seems like a long time to watch trends. And how do you do it? How do you how do you keep facing huge societal issues like homelessness and
not very well sometimes. it's difficult. You know, most of us are in it for the long run. This is what we do, and we get sustained in part from just the energy of engaging in the struggle, so to speak. And it's recognizing your privilege. The people that I work with who experience the homelessness or have all the struggles, they don't have the privilege of saying, well, I don't really have to deal with that, so I'm going to change it. So it's constantly reminding yourself how privileged you are in your own position, and finding ways to use that privilege to advance the interests of the work. So so that's, you know, it's a process thing, and it's sometimes you do it better than you do other times.
Do you have any stories about people that you've worked with, say, starting out on the street and then sort of getting that stroke of luck or funding when it was needed or just the right connections at the right time? And
Numerous. I was involved in, I don't know if you know Phoenix Youth Programs, but I was involved at the very beginning when we were just talking about, you know, we need to do something, what can we do? And of course that organization snowballed tremendously. It goes in all kinds of directions. However, one of the first project was became a group home, really, and there was young women who I knew not very well, but I knew them, and they were choosing the group home to a pimp, you know, and that made me feel real good to know that they were, to know that they had the option, right? Because it wasn't there before. So when you're involved with this type of work that's developmental and you experience actual structures and buildings coming into place, you know, it, you see it, right? And you see how people's lives change by those things being available to them. So I've, God, there must be 7 or 8 buildings actually over the 20 years that people are now living in that I've had some piece of the development of them. And, you know, that's a nice feeling when you can see it, you know? I mean, often in social work, you do one-on-one counseling, and you're talking to people, and you're helping them, you know, try to reflect on their circumstance and look at things, and, you know, you see them changing a bit internally and getting a better perspective on things. But when you actually see what a house, a home, a place to live can do for somebody, it's very rewarding to know that you played a small part in making that happen.
Right? Yeah.
So it's a nice feeling.